last tarot. Were you there on the 23rd of June when we met with the president?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Very much so, because I did the memo at right. those times. I don't recollect, but those meetings were basically ones where I wrote the memo for the president as to his, you know, talking points and all that. Cruz big.
I know Mondale was there, and Brzezinski. Holbrook and Thayer came with me. That's right, I remember you being there. I know the president took me by surprise by starting out by saying, what did I think should be done? I thought I was just going to go there and in effect get a set of instructions, as it were. And the...
Well, this at this point, Cyrus Vance's trip was...
Oh, the second...
Yeah, and his trip was scheduled, but we had yet to have what turned out to be a very important meeting with Carter charging Vance with his particular mission. So I think that the reason the president began with the question to you is that he was beginning to zero in on China policy at this point. I believe he had, it was perhaps about 10 to 15 days later that he had a crucial meeting with Harold Brown, Vance, Brzezinski, Holbrooke, myself, where he basically said what he wanted to do for China policy during his administration. And that conversation with you was important, I think, in his in formulating his thinking.
And the Commission for Agriculture, Commerce, USIA, I spent quite a bit of time there. Mort Smith, who had just become the director for East Asia in ICA, had been the pressman who went with our commission to Hanoi. So that
very capable fellow.
Yes. Subsequently, DCM in Singapore. And had briefings with INR. Spent a day out at CIA. Stansfield Turner, whom I knew somewhat before. I had a session.
Must have had Jim Lilly, I guess. Jim Lilly.
Jim Lilly was in China at that time, right? Carlucci was the deputy. Carlucci I had visited with when he was our ambassador in Portugal, as I made several trips to Portugal when I was president of the OAW after the revolution. And I had spoken highly of Carlucci to President Carter and Vice President Mondale because of the way he stood up to Kissinger, insisting Portugal was not on the verge of going communist. And remember when Secretary Kissinger was practically writing off Portugal. And then I also I made all my courtesy calls in the Senate. Members of the Foreign Relations Committee. But I also did some visiting on the House side. I remember spending about an hour with Clement Lubocki.
You must have known him from the UAW and he represents a heavy UAW district.
Right.
What explains his position on Taiwan?
Well, he's back on the same wicket.
That's
now
right.
That he was then. I was told I was wasting my time to going to see him, but this was not before I went. This is when I came back in the fall, when I went to speak to him about, in my opinion, it would be possible to have an arrangement which would not bother the future of Taiwan. He didn't agree necessarily, but he listened very carefully and gave me a good hearing from that point of view.
This was not at the confirmation time.
This was in fall of 77, right?
Let's pause at this point. You have gone through a rather extensive preparation, both of reading the documents and visiting, touching all the right bases in Washington, the Hill, the administration. What kind of thoughts, then, did you leave with as to a whole range of questions? Let's start with the Washington scene itself. What was your impression as to the administration's commitment to normalization?
Well, I had trying to remember the session that I had with Vice President Mondale. I saw him on the 14th of July, but I'd had an earlier time with session with him, and he was strongly in favor of normalization. If you remember the session we all had, he was clearly in favor. His reaction at that time was political. The Democrats got charged with, quote, losing China at an earlier time. And if we didn't get on with the job of putting relations on a normal basis, that if the Chinese should swing back again into the Soviet orbit, that for another generation would be put on the doorstep of the Democratic Party, so that he had sort of a pragmatic reason at that point for moving ahead to normalization. It was he, I think, who told me that thought that the president would be okay on the matter after getting some other things in line, particularly at that point a SALT agreement, which of course looked like it was some distance away, as of course in fact it was. I had nothing at that point directly from the president. Matter of fact, I never saw the president, just the two of us. After our convention in May, until I went to China.
And what was your impression from Vance? How much time did you spend with Vance at this point?
I'd spent time with him when I first got down to the department. Then on the about mid-June, Dick Holbrook and I spent mid-July rather, in an evening spent of about an hour with him, and he was for normalization, yes, but other things obviously were much more important in his mind, particularly the relationship with the Soviet Union. But
and at that point, relations with the Soviet Union had already soured. He'd had an unsuccessful trip.
The initial trip, right.
To Moscow, and the Sharansky business had already begun to surface.
One session I had with General Wilson, who was then head of Defense Intelligence, who had been with Stilwell in China and in Burma. I had not long before that finished reading Robert Tuchman Stilwell and the American Experience. And I asked him if that book was essentially correct, with its very low opinion of Chiang Kai-shek, and he said yes, it was essentially correct, except in one particular. She had written in her book that the Chinese soldiers that they had in Burma, and that they had themselves trained, had become excellent fighters. And he said they were pretty good on defense, but on offense they were no better than they'd ever been. And he said that was pretty strange, because later on quite a few of them joined the PLA and fought us in Korea, when he said they fought like tigers. Fought like tigers. He was also the one who he'd served as military attaché in Moscow, and said that he had never dreamed he would hear communists speak of the yellow peril. But they said they were obsessed with it. We're always talking about China and the yellow peril. I met, of course, with John Fairbank, and I'd read his stuff, of course, and my meeting with him was most useful. Possibly the most memorable. We had lunch together in the State Department. And afterwards I asked him, was there any place I could take him? He said, no, he was just going home. I said, you're going to Boston? No, no, no. He said, my mother lives in Georgetown. His mother's still alive.
She over 100, I believe, over 100 years of age now.